The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the divisional round of the playoffs, you know, in my opinion, was kind of weak. I mean, the last game of the weekend was a fun one, but the first three were just, I'd say, pretty mediocre, pretty one-sided for the most part. We did have one huge choke, though, and we'll get to that one when we get to it. But let's start off with the first matchup of the divisional round. It was on Saturday between the Houston Texans at the Kansas City Chiefs. This one actually went a little bit different than I expected. It was a close matchup, but for the most part, the Chiefs had the lead the entire way. It didn't come down to any last-second type play, which I thought it would. It really pretty much just was the Chiefs pretty much dominating the Texans. The Texans' defense actually played pretty decent. I will say I'm not sure how they forgot Travis Kelce existed, because Travis Kelce did have his best game of the season. He had 117 yards and a touchdown, and was a huge factor in this game. I mean, there was one pass where he was wide ass open, and I'm just like staring at my TV screen like, how on earth do you leave the best tight end in the game that wide ass open? I don't care what kind of a season that dude's having. You gotta watch out for Travis Kelce. Like, what the fuck are you doing? So that was one big thing. Of course, a lot of people are pointing to the refs as usual, as they tend to do. And yes, there were two bunk ass roughing the passer calls against the Texans. Against Patrick Mahomes, and I mean, one of them was so hilarious because it was literally two Texans running into each other, and they thought that Patrick Mahomes got hit in the head, and no, it was the two Texans hitting each other in the head, but that's besides the point. Last I checked, the refs didn't give up 8 sacks. That Texans offensive line gave up those 8 sacks. As I said on Friday's show, I thought it was going to be a long day for C.J. Stroud, because this Texans offensive line has been terrible all season long, and that's what happened. C.J. Stroud was on his ass the entire fucking game. He was running for his life, and really just this Texans offense was just extremely ineffective for the most part, and the Chiefs really didn't have many issues. It was a close one, but still the Chiefs had the lead the entire way. They got the win 23-14. And they move on to yet another AFC championship game. But that's not shocking at all. The Texans, I will say, I mean, they improved. I mean, last year, they came out of nowhere, made the playoffs. This year, I felt like they struggled a bit more, mostly because of that offensive line. But hey, they still won their division. They still made the playoffs. They made it to the divisional round. And they actually did make it a game. It's just, for the most part, the Chiefs really just are the Chiefs. They are veterans. They've been here before. They know how to win. And so that's just what's going to happen. So hopefully the Texans could take what they learned in this playoffs and just take it into next year. It just wasn't a good game at all from the Texans. I thought it was a terrible game from them. And the Chiefs just do what they do. They got the win, and we get to see them in yet another AFC championship game. Whoopity-doo! Then the other Saturday matchup, which turned out to be the upset of the weekend, and that was the Washington Commanders at the Detroit Lions. Now, when I made my playoff predictions a couple of weeks ago, I went with the Detroit Lions as my Super Bowl champions, and I even said it. I never thought in a million years I would take the Lions. Usually, skeptical-ass me is going to be like, yeah, right, the Lions are just going to do what the Lions always do, and that is choke. Well, guess what? The Lions did exactly what the Lions did. And that's why I can never believe in them, because they got everything handed to them this season. They looked like the best team. They beat everyone. They overcame everything. They won their division handedly. They won the NFC handedly. They get the number one overall seed. They get home field advantage, and they laid a motherfucking egg. Now I will give credit where credit is due. The Washington Commanders, man, they went in there and gave zero fucks that they were playing the number one overall seed. They gave zero fucks what anybody said about them all week, and they just went in and played that game. Jaden Daniels, dude, went 22 for 31, 299 yards and two touchdowns. He was so poised this entire game. He gave zero fucks. The receivers were making just huge plays. Zach Ertz making huge plays. Their running backs making huge plays. The defense really contained this Lions offense. The number one offense in the league was contained by a bunch of mostly no names for the most part. And this Washington Commanders team went right into Detroit and made this not even a close game. I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought it was going to be Detroit Lions all night. No, it was pretty much Washington all night. As a matter of fact, they forced four interceptions and a fumble on this night. I mean, Jared Goff was so ineffective. He had so many just terrible interceptions. He had a couple in the red zone, and it just was not a good night. Other than Gibbs. Gibbs was the only one for the Lions who had a good night. Other than that, this Lions team had their worst game of the season, and this was the most Lions way you can end a season, is just completely dominate the regular season and then shit the fucking bed. Not even in the championship game. They did it in the first matchup of the playoffs for them. They got everything they wanted and they shit the bed against the rookie fucking quarterback. That is such a Lions thing to do, and that is why I don't pick the motherfucking Detroit Lions. So thank you, Detroit, for showing me why I should never do that ever again, and I probably will never pick you assholes to do that, because this is why you don't make the Super Bowl, because that is what the Lions do. And I mean, like I said, this game was not even close. It was at first, like the first like four drives. And then Washington just went off, and they never fucking looked back. It was never really a close one. Washington was never on the ropes. They were never on their toes. They gave zero fucks throughout this whole entire thing. And I gotta say, I am pissed off because, you know, as a Cowboys fan, the last fucking NFC championship game I was looking forward to getting is Washington Commanders versus the Philadelphia Eagles. But I gotta say, I laughed fucking hard when the Detroit Lions did that shit, because I just enjoy that shit. Also because, you know, people do it to the Cowboys and think the Cowboys are the only shitty team that has these type of follies. No, it's pretty much all teams have these follies at some point. But at least the Cowboys have won Super Bowls. Fucking Lions still yet to even sniff a Super Bowl. So have fun at home, Detroit. Welcome to the couch with us Cowboys fans. Anyways, now on to Sunday's games, which were a bit more competitive. They actually came down to the last drives, basically, of the game. But the first game was the Los Angeles Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles. For the most part, the Eagles, they had control of this game. There were a few points where, I mean, the Rams did have a game-winning drive where they could have actually taken the lead in this one, but they shit the bed. I really do think weather played a huge role in both games yesterday, but especially this one. I feel like the Rams actually probably would have won this game had there been no snow, because once it started snowing, they were fumbling the ball all over the place, and that was basically the deciding factor in this one. Because the Eagles' offense didn't really look that good. Jalen Hurts has just had such a weird season, but yet here they are. They are headed to the NFC Championship game. They were able to hang on against the Rams 28-22. By the way, I don't think I even said the final score of the Detroit Lions game. It ended up being Washington 45, Detroit 31. There you go. Ass kicking. But anyways, the Eagles won 28-22 over the Rams. Like I said, the Rams actually were able to get in the red zone. But unfortunately, on third and goal, Matt Stafford got sacked. And I feel like that just completely took them out of rhythm. And they just weren't able to get anything going. And then on fourth down, he just had to throw it away. And that's just how that ended. But man, Saquon Barkley, it feels like every single game, this dude has a huge bust out for a run. And in this one, he had a huge bust out for a run in the snow, too. He didn't even look like he was bothered at all by the snow. He ended up with 205 yards and two touchdowns. As I said, that's the dude who I called MVP. And guess what? He had a better game yesterday than both Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Just letting y'all know. So everybody's talking about those two for MVP. I remain on the Saquon Barkley is the fucking MVP of the league. Train just because he continues to have a fantastic year. He continues to be the reason why this Philadelphia Eagles team keeps on chugging along, and here they are in the NFC Championship game. Going up against the Washington Commanders. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Everybody was talking about the NFC North and how great these teams were, and it turns out the stupid-ass NFC East is taking over the NFC Championship game. How the fuck is that? But that is what it is. But the Eagles are moving on. And like I said, offensively, they were kind of shaky other than Saquon yesterday. But the defense, whoo, man, this Philadelphia Eagles defense ain't nothing to fuck with. They are damn good. And just the offense is just able to do enough. I mean, like I said, Saquon, that's all they got to do is just hand the ball off to Saquon, and he's going to bust out something. I feel like he's got at least a 45-yard run in him every single game. The guy just is a beast, and here he is in the NFC Championship game, so good for him. And then the last game of the divisional round weekend, which turned out to be a doozy, was between the Baltimore Ravens at the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills just hung on 27-25. The Ravens, though, I think they just got in their own way. Like I said, the weather played a factor in this one because there were a couple of mishandlings of the football and even a fumble that I think were caused specifically by the weather. But at the same time, this was a battle. And the Bills really, I felt like the Bills were just in control of this game the entire way through. It's just, like I said, the Ravens just kept getting in their own way. They had the turnovers. And then to end it, they score the touchdown, but need the two-point conversion. But I'm going to take you back to a touchdown that they scored in the third quarter. It's something that I personally have had a problem with. Over the years, I can't stand analytics. I get it has a place in sports, but I just can't stand how it's turned into, this is how I make decisions. Let me get my calculator out and the percentages. But no, you need to do the feel of the game. And sometimes just the easiest thing is to take the points. It's the phrase take the points has gone to the wayside ever since analytics has rolled around. And it's always funny to me to watch analytics actually fuck up a game for a team. And in this case, it fucked up a game for the Baltimore Ravens. And so they scored a touchdown in the third quarter. And they opted to go for the two-point conversion because they would have, I think, only been down by 1 point. I can't recall what the score was at that point in time, but yeah, because it would have put them in either tied it up or just put them at 1 point behind. Regardless, they went for the 2 point conversion when they should have just taken the points. And so instead of taking the points, they went for the 2 point conversion and failed on the 2 point conversion. So they ended up being down by 2 points, and then Buffalo was able to get it going again and score another field goal, take it up again. And then Baltimore on their last drive, they were able to score the touchdown, but they had to go for the 2 point conversion. And had they just taken the field goal, taken the points on that touchdown towards the end of the third quarter, they would have only needed the field goal to tie things up, and maybe we might be talking about a different result here. Who knows? But the point I'm making is that the stupid-ass analytics fucked them over in the end here because they had to go for the two-point conversion. And to me, it's like the third quarter when they went for the two-point conversion was so unnecessary. It wasn't crunch time. It wasn't, we have to go for this. That's me. When you have to go for it, that's when you go for it. They need to stop. Some of these teams need to stop just going for fourth downs when it's pointless. They'll go for a fucking fourth down in like the second quarter, and then it costs them in the fourth quarter because they could have just taken the points and gone on their merry way, and it just screws over so many teams, and it screwed over the Ravens yesterday. Like I said, it may not have changed the end result. Also, the field goal kicker would have had to have made the extra point, but I'm just saying, them not kicking the field goal and just taking the point, the 1 point, rather than going for the two-point conversion, screwed them over on this last drive. They had to rely on the two-point conversion, which Andrews dropped. Mark Andrews has been one of the most reliable tight ends throughout his career with the Baltimore Ravens. But unfortunately, he had a terrible game yesterday. He ended up having a key fumble on a huge drive. I mean, the Ravens were driving. There was a point in time where the Ravens were ice fucking cold like the weather. But then they started to get it going in the third quarter. They started to even, because, you know, Derrick Henry didn't have that great of a game yesterday either. He actually rushed for over 80 yards and had a touchdown. But for the most part, Derrick Henry was pretty much nothing yesterday. It really was not a good showing from the Ravens, just for the most part. But in the second half, they did start getting it going and did actually finally start scoring the points they needed to. And they were on a roll, and then Mark Andrews, he catches this ball right over the middle, and the Buffalo Bills defender's just able to punch the ball right out of his hands, forces a fumble, and Buffalo gets the ball right back and then kicks a field goal and scores some more points. And so it's things like that that cost them. And then, of course, Mark Andrews, he dropped the two-point conversion in the end to send Buffalo off to the AFC Championship to Kansas City 27-25. But, I mean, overall, very just boom, excellent game from the Buffalo Bills. I mean, it was just such a well-balanced game from them on every level. They didn't have very many mistakes. I mean, you can't say any team's ever had a mistake-free game, but I'd say they had about as much of a flawless game as you could have. They played great defensively. They pretty much held Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson both in check, something nobody has been able to do all season long for the most part, other than the Pittsburgh Steelers at one point in the regular season. But this Buffalo Bills team really just was able to keep them in check as best you can. They pretty much, you know, they got those big plays from Mark Andrews where they got the fumble. There was another fumble that they got from Lamar Jackson as well. And then offensively, they just took care of business. Josh Allen, he didn't need to do a whole lot yesterday. He just had a very solid game, 16 for 22. 127 yards and two rushing touchdowns. Cook had a solid day as well, but there wasn't really anything special that this team did other than just go out there, do their job, and play great football. And now we've got the Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City Chiefs for our AFC Championship game, and the Washington Commanders versus the Philadelphia Eagles for the NFC Championship game. And we'll get more into those games, of course, on Friday's game. But I just think Baltimore, definitely they got in their own way in that game. And that's kind of what they did all season long. There were a couple of games where, like, for the most part, I feel like we all thought the Ravens had a shit ton of talent. We're one of the top teams in the league. It's just they had these weird off games, and that was last night for them. But hey, Buffalo Bills, give it to them. They played a fantastic game. And from my perspective, as I said, I am rooting for anybody but the Chiefs. But like I said, this NFC Championship game between the Commanders and the Eagles does not make me happy, because one of them has to go to the Super Bowl, and that fucking pisses me off. So go Bills! I'll be whipping out the O.J. Simpson jersey this weekend, because, yeah, if you don't know, yeah, I have two O.J. Simpson jerseys, because I film music videos, and in one of my music videos, I wore an O.J. Simpson jersey. We'll just say I did my best O.J. Simpson impression. If you'd like to check it out, it's called Crazy Bitch. But I will definitely be sporting the O.J. Simpson jersey this weekend, because I hope the Bills kill the Chiefs. Anyways, on to more football. We have us a national championship tonight between Notre Dame and Ohio State. Now, let me tell you what I love about this first year of this year's college football playoff, because this is the first year we had 12 teams. And what I love about the first year of this 12-team playoff is that it is number 5 Notre Dame versus number 6 Ohio State. What I love about that is this, it goes to show you, it's not always the number 1 and the number 2 teams that are the best. Sometimes they just, their record's better. Sometimes they face teams who were down and then got better as the season wore on, or who the fuck knows. But it's nice to see that this is what the 12-team playoff is for. It is so that some of these teams, like Notre Dame and Ohio State, who were top teams all season long but suffered a couple of shitty losses along the way and cost them the number 1 spot. So in years before, where we only took like the top 4 teams, for example, these two teams wouldn't have even been given a chance because this is number 5 and number 6. So that is what is cool about this year's college football playoff being expanded to 12 teams, because now it gets a little bit shaken up. Things can be different. You don't have to be, if your team loses 1 or 2 regular season games, it's not going to completely demolish your season. I mean, Ohio State suffered a couple of bad losses in the regular season, and oh my God, the sky is falling, and now it looks like they have the potential to win a national championship now. So that is what I love about this first year of the college football playoff, 12-team expansion, is that we get a number 5 and number 6 going up against each other. Of course, you know I wish my Texas Longhorns were in it, but hey, they shouldn't have shit the bed. Anyways, let's get to tonight's national championship matchup between Notre Dame and Ohio State. Well, Ohio State is favored by 8.5 points. I will say, both of these teams defensively, whew, excellent. I love both of these teams on the defensive side of the ball. As a matter of fact, I would not be shocked if both of these defenses shine tonight and make big plays, maybe even have some touchdowns, just set their offenses up in good field position, because both of these defenses have been fantastic all season long, but especially through this college football playoff. But to me, Ohio State, they're just deeper on every level. I think they're better at the quarterback position. I think they're better at the running back position. I think they're fairly equal at the running back position, but I just trust Ohio State more than Notre Dame, especially because Notre Dame's running back has just been battling through injuries through the most part, so who knows how that's going to play out in tonight's game. Ohio State, to me, has a few more playmakers at the receiving position as well. So just to me, Ohio State is a bit more deep. But don't overlook Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is going to give them a fight. But you know what? I've picked against Notre Dame this entire college football playoff and been wrong every single time. But I, like I said, Ohio State is deep. And I just think they just seem like a more legit team, a more championship-level team than Notre Dame. I kind of feel like Notre Dame more is I don't want to call them a Cinderella because they definitely belong here. They've been ranked as one of the top teams all season long. They only have, what, 1 loss on the season, so it's not like they're a terrible team. It's just I trust Ohio State more than I do Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I feel like, still has a little bit of growth to do. But I do think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be one of those games where it's a battle in the first half. Then once we get back from halftime, I feel like Ohio State's going to slowly start to pull away and then just hold their own as the fourth quarter rolls around. And I've got Ohio State winning this one 30-20. Moving on to the NBA and the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Not a whole lot of movement in the top. Not even a whole lot of movement at the bottom as well. It's kind of the same usual suspects. So let's get started at number 1. Actually, they are now back at the number 1 spot. I dropped them last week, but they moved back up this week because they did what the number 1 did last week. And so Oklahoma City moved up back to the number 1 spot. Overall record of 35-7 on the season. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. But the reason why I moved them back up to the number 1 spot is because Cleveland was my number 1 team last week, and they obliterated Cleveland by 40-plus points. This week, the Thunder took out the Philadelphia 76ers, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks and then beat the Brooklyn Nets. SGA right now is on a tear. He actually leads the league in points per game. He's tied with Giannis with 31.5 points per game. And it's just crazy because, I mean, throughout the injuries that this team has suffered, I mean, they still don't have Chet Holmgren back. And this team, they are great. Not only offensively, but defensively, this team takes care of business and they still have dudes that are coming back from injury. So we'll see what happens here. But this team is just so damn good. And they only have 7 losses on the season. Dropping only 1 spot to the number 2 spot on my top 10 NBA power rankings this week, the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 35-6. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like I said, the only reason why they fall back this week is simply because they got obliterated by the Thunder. I mean, that was such a loss that you can't overlook that loss. It was a 40-plus point loss, okay? So, and it wasn't even close. It was never close. It was one of those extreme blowouts where Oklahoma City was like, fuck y'all, you are not better than us, and I'm sorry, you can't be ranked higher than them this week. Even though statistically, Cleveland is the better team, but I got to say, Cleveland is just playing fantastic basketball this year. They are good on the offensive side of the ball, but it's really impressive with what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball, which has been their problem over the last couple of years. They've actually been a rising star team over the last couple of years. It's just I've not been able to believe in them because of their defensive problems, but they have taken care of those defensive problems, and they continue to be extremely suffocating as the season wears on. And the best team in the Eastern Conference, where the defending champions are, which they are at number 3, once again, on my top 10 NBA power rankings. That is the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 29-13. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Toronto Raptors, beat the Orlando Magic, and lost to the Atlanta Hawks. They are still in their slump, but they're still better than pretty much everybody else, at least at this point in time. Now, if this slump keeps continuing, they are going to start to fall back. But, I mean, they're not really worried about it. It is very early in the NBA season. I mean, we haven't even hit the midway point yet. So the Celtics have plenty of time to fix their issues, and they are in the Eastern Conference, which is not as dominating as the Western Conference could be. But at the same time, you don't want to keep losing these games because, like I said, the Cavaliers are 35-6. Boston's 29-13, so they haven't even hit the 30-win mark yet. And I'm not saying, oh my God, worry about the Celtics, but at some point, this slump is going to catch up, and if they don't snap out of it, they're going to get way too far behind, and they aren't going to catch up to the Cavaliers. Then at number 4 in my top 10 NBA power rankings are the New York Knicks. Overall record of 27-16. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Detroit Pistons. They beat the Philadelphia 76ers and then lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is why they remain at 4. I still think they're a really good team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This Karl-Anthony Towns injury has really kind of taken a toll on them, which is understandable because he was a huge reason why they were playing so well. But at the same time, the Knicks are still playing good basketball, and they're still one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, and I still expect them to keep it moving as the season wears on. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that everybody needs to watch out for in the Western Conference, and that is the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 24-16. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Dallas Mavericks, lost to the Houston Rockets, but beat the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic. Nikola Jokic, he has had 18 triple-doubles on the season, so he continues his insanity with the triple-doubles. So does Russell Westbrook. He is also a triple-double king. So you got these two coming in hot with their triple-doubles and just really having no issues. It kind of feels like Westbrook is really starting to fit in with this team. But also, this team is getting healthy. Jamal Murray, he is healthy, starting to get going. Aaron Gordon, another one, getting healthy. So watch out for this Denver Nuggets team because they are starting to make moves. They're starting to push forward. Now, I don't think a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder needs to watch out for them, but maybe they do because Denver, they are a championship caliber team. They do have Nikola Jokic. if they get healthy, this is a very, very deep team, a very good team, and a very veteran squad who knows how to win. And if they start getting healthy, which they are, they start putting it together, which they are, they've moved up to the number five spot. I don't know. They might be on Oklahoma City's ass here pretty soon. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 28-13. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies, the Denver Nuggets, lost to the Sacramento Kings, and beat the Portland Trail Blazers. As I continue to say about the Houston Rockets, this team is really good. There's a lot of good things about them. It's just, I still don't know if I believe in them. They're just so young that it's just like, it's really difficult for me to believe in. Like I said, they remind me of the Oklahoma City Thunder from a couple years ago, where it was like, do we believe in them? Do we believe in them? And they just kind of need to gain respect, basically, for me to believe in them. But I will say, they are playing good basketball. I mean, beating Memphis, Denver, those are two stacked-ass teams. Like I was just talking about, Denver, one of the hottest teams in the league, starting to get it going. But Memphis is their division rival, and Memphis is also one of the hottest teams in the league, stacked. So the fact that they're actually keeping up with all these good teams, and really, I mean, they're a very fast, finesse team, but at the same time, they just dominate the paint. And they don't have a superstar who you look at and go, wow, that guy's going to take over the game. But they always have this other random guy who just takes over the game. And it doesn't matter who it is, they still keep on winning. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 27-15. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Houston Rockets but beat the San Antonio Spurs twice. Rookie Zach Edey, he's come back from injury a few weeks ago, I want to say about maybe even a month ago now at this point. But he keeps getting stronger and healthier, and he is really dominating the paint. And this Memphis Grizzlies team, not only are they just killing it offensively, but on the boards, they are dominating. And if Zach Edey keeps growing into this body and just keeps, I mean, he had a battle with Wemby the other night. These guys were just going back and forth in the paint. And I mean, these two, nobody looks at Zach Edey like they do Wemby. But Zach Edey was giving Wemby the fucking business in one of those games. Might have been both of those games, but there was one where it was a battle between the two of them, and Edey was winning it. So I look at this Memphis Grizzlies team. They stay healthy because that's been their issue. He's been injured. Jaws had a couple of injuries over the season as well. But this team gets healthy. You really got to watch out for them because they are dominant in the paint with Zach Edey right now. Then number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Milwaukee Bucks, overall record of 24-17. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Sacramento Kings, the Orlando Magic, the Toronto Raptors, and the Philadelphia 76ers. As I said when I was talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, Giannis is tied right now for the league lead in points per game with 31.5 points per game, tied with SGA. And I mean, Giannis is just, he's turning on. I mean, he's actually been the only consistent thing about the Bucks all season. And even when they were slumping, he was still having his moments. But now, woo, Giannis is in MVP mode. This dude is eating. You could tell he wants to win. And this team's starting to put it together. They do have their slumps. But once they get going on the upside, like they are right now, they're really tough to stop. And you just look at the way Giannis is just, he's having Jokic numbers. Right now, to me, Giannis and Jokic are just eating. They are scoring points. They are getting rebounds. They are dishing the ball. And they just are dominating in every steals, too. Blocks, also, both of them. It's like every single stat category you can get, Jokic and Giannis are doing it in every single game, at least so far this season. Then number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Indiana Pacers, overall record of 24-19. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They beat the Detroit Pistons, and then they beat the Philadelphia 76ers. This team is getting better as the season's wearing on. Halliburton's looking good. Siakam's looking good. Miles Turner's looking good. This team is just really starting to put it together offensively, defensively. I look at the Indiana Pacers. They're basically doing what they normally do. They kind of started off the beginning of the season quiet. Now they're starting to get going. after the All-Star break, that's usually when the Indiana Pacers really start to shine, especially Halliburton as well. That's kind of been known to be his time to shine as well over the past couple of seasons. So look out for the Indiana Pacers to be one of these rising stars over in the Eastern Conference. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Clippers, overall record of 24-17. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Miami Heat, the Brooklyn Nets, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Los Angeles Lakers. Norman Powell is having a fantastic year. I had no idea that the Clippers were even really, you know, they were kind of hovering there for a minute, and now they are at the top of the division, just because that's how the division has been so far. I mean, it's just been rotating between every single team, between the Clippers, the Lakers, the Warriors. It's just everybody, I think, besides the Kings has been number one so far. And the Kings, they've actually been on a tear since they fired their coach. So who knows? Maybe they'll take the number one spot here in a couple weeks themselves. But the Clippers right now, they are in the number one spot. Norman Powell has been a huge reason why. He's actually been, besides James Harden, their most consistent player. But as far as James Harden goes, we know it's the regular season is his jam, and then it's the playoffs is where he usually disappears. So we'll see how that goes. But right now, the Clippers, they're top of the division and playing the best basketball in the division. So just gotta talk about them at least for now. Kawhi Leonard, he's playing, he's getting his minutes in, and right now the Clippers are actually playing decent basketball, but, you know, they're not usually known for keeping it consistent. I imagine Kawhi Leonard's probably going to suffer an injury here any minute and then miss the rest of the year with the hanging thumbnail or something of that nature. That's what usually happens to Kawhi Leonard, but right now the Clippers are actually playing pretty decent basketball, and mostly because of Norman Powell. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Friday.